Meanwhile,
Mid-Valley Mutations.
It's not every year that our show actually falls on a holiday, and this one actually kind of happened by accident and by random chance, as it were. We had a recent schedule change, which moved our show from Fridays to Tuesdays, and, Christmas Eve's on a Tuesday this year. So, it's kind of difficult for me to put together a full show. There's just too much holiday nonsense going on, and I think it might be in our best interest to turn things over to a tried and true format for the holidays. Now, we will be bringing you more Mid-Valley Mutations very soon, and of course, every other week, we are also offering WTBC Radio in beautiful Anywhere, Anywhen, where you get a little more of a talk-based, live performance-type show. And we've been doing some really cool stuff over there that I'm quite proud of. And I hope that you're subscribed to both programs. But it is Christmas Eve, and that means that we need to do something seasonal, as it were. With that in mind, let us switch gears. Get yourself a beverage. Dim the lights. You might want to get some friends for this one. Or maybe you prefer listening in the dark. Either way, Dime Store Radio Theater proudly presents Casey, Crime Photographer, and its story, The Santa Claus of Bums Boulevard.
The Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation brings you Crime Photographer.
Hiya, Casey.
Hi, Ethelbert.
How did Santa Claus treat you?
Fine, just fine. I'm so full of Christmas spirit, I could even kiss the city editor.
What do you know? And me, I could even forgive and forget one or two of those Christmas neckties.
Hey, some of those things are Lulus. You ought to see the one Marvin got. It lights up and spells a message.
Well, anyway, it's a beautiful sentiment.
What's it say?
The most wonderful words. Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tony Marvin. Every week at this time, the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, and its more than 10,000 employees bring you another adventure of Casey, crime photographer, ace cameraman who covers the crime news of a great city. Written by Alonzo Dean Cole, our adventure for tonight, The Santa Claus of Bums Boulevard. Christmas. About 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the Blue Note Cafe. Ethelbert, the head bartender, gazes sympathetically at the two glum faces opposite him, sighs, and...
Casey, I know just how you and Miss Williams feel. It ain't right to have to work on Christmas Day.
The three of us should have different jobs, Ethelbert.
And say, Ethelbert, where's Herman Chittison?
Now, he's having Christmas dinner with his family, the lucky dog. Johnny Paul dropped in to play the piano for us today.
Oh, good. Oh, my. Holidays don't mean a thing in our racket, Ethelbert. Newspapers must be printed.
And guys in my profession have to stand behind bars and make with bottles.
And lemons.
Oh, well, it might be worse. At least we ain't got families.
Well, that's what makes it worse for me. My family's 1,000 miles away.
I haven't got a family anywhere.
Well, you've got sisters, Casey.
Sure, they're all married. They all got families of their own and all 2,000 miles away.
My sister Edna ain't married, but you know Edna.
Yeah. Well, let's can this deep philosophical discussion, Annie. Get started for Hackett Street.
Hackett Street?
We have an assignment down there.
That's the crummiest street in town. Nothing but gin mills, flop houses, and bums.
Yeah, it's Bums Boulevard.
Why's your paper send you down there on Christmas?
For a story, of course.
Yeah. Ethelbert, you know, for the past 2 years at exactly 1:30 on Christmas Day, A guy has shown up at the corner of Hackett and Finley with a wad of new $1 bills, which he's handed out to all the rummies around there. Then when his wad is gone, he's beat it, without telling anybody who he is, where he's from, or anything.
If he shows up again this year, City Desk wants pictures of him and a complete yarn about him. We'll play him up as the Santa Claus of Bums Boulevard.
The guy must be nuts, giving good dough away to a bunch of lushes who'll spend it on nothing better than cheap hooch. What kind of a guy is he?
Oh, probably a publicity hound, I guess. Well, come on, let's get started, Annie.
Yeah, we haven't too much time before 1:30. So long, Ethelbert.
So long, and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, it'll be a very merry and very Christmassy Christmas among the panhandlers and drunks that we're going to see. You know, the holiday spirit's a lot of malarkey anyway, unless you got a family. Come on, Annie.
Yeah, you're right, Casey.
Yeah, he's right. Walter, bring up some lemons.
Casey, we're terribly late. That man will have given away his dollar bills and be gone by the time we get
there. Annie, can I help it if we ran out of gas 4 blocks from the nearest open filling station?
You could have had the tank filled before it went dry.
Oh, sure, I'm wrong. I'm always wrong to hear you tell it. All you women do is nag.
And a Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, I'm sorry, kid. I'm a dope.
I'm sorry. I love the bracelet you gave me, Casey.
Huh?
Yeah. You have exquisite taste.
It looks swell on you. Hey, I wanted to get you a ring.
A ring?
Yeah, with your birthstone. Amethyst. See, I know it.
Oh.
I didn't see any I liked.
It's just as well. I don't care for amethyst and rings.
No?
No.
Oh. Wish I could afford a family of my own, Annie.
What makes you think you can?
My pay envelope, the cost of living. Well, maybe someday.
Then maybe when that someday comes, no woman will want you.
You may have something there. I've been a bachelor so long, Annie, it's become a habit. You know, this morning when I woke up in my dinky little apartment, I felt, empty and lonely and useless. I haven't got a home.
I felt the same way.
I wonder, maybe, Annie, if the two of us...
What about... the two of us.
Well, I... Oh, nuts. Look at this crummy street and the people on it. How can anybody think of home and a family life down here? How can anybody believe in anything or dream of anything? Every one of these bums, Annie, had big ideas once, and now look at it.
The street is frightening, isn't it?
If anybody reaches here, he's finished.
It's the last stop. There's a crowd lined up at the next corner, Casey.
Yeah.
Is that where the...
Yeah, that's the place where the dollar bill Santa Claus has shown up before.
Well, maybe he's been there and gone.
Mm-mm. No, if that were so, those rum-dums wouldn't be standing in line. They'd all be in the nearest gin mill spending the dough or fighting to get it away from each other. Well, I'll park the car here and walk the rest of the way.
Yeah, the car may be safer away from that mob.
That's how I figure. Let's see, I got the camera. Lock the car. Okay, let's go.
It's 1:45, Casey. According to his previous schedule, Santa Claus is 15 minutes late. Maybe he won't show up.
It'll be a big Christmas thirst on Bums Boulevard if he doesn't. Sorry.
Pardon the sudden see you.
Okay, sister. Take it easy now.
I'm all right. Don't I know you?
I don't think so. Holy... Miss Arnold.
We're both mistaken now. I don't know you and you don't know me. Excuse me for bumping you. Goodbye. Casey, what?
Annie, that dame is Julia Arnold.
Julia Arnold?
She was a big actress, a great star.
Julia? She was a Broadway sensation when I was in college. Why, she was beautiful. Oh, Casey, that woman can't
be... The way she denied her identity proves she is, Annie. I heard that Julia Arnold hit the skids, but...
Oh.
She was married to a nice guy who got killed in the war, and then her kid died. It's not nice, is it?
And spare dime, mister. Just a dime.
I guess, old-timer. Let me see.
I ain't a drinking man, mister. I'll spend it for food, not liquor.
You don't look like a rummy.
I ain't. I'm just old. You can ask anybody around here about Smitty. That's me. They'll tell you Smitty don't drink, don't steal. The worst they'll tell you about Smitty is he's just too old.
Look, I haven't got any small change, Smitty. Here's a buck.
Well, here's another for me.
$2? Oh, God bless you, boy.
Forget it.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas.
You didn't look like a faker, Casey.
No, just old.
Christmas.
There are plenty of fakers in that mob we're coming to, though.
Oh, they look like a line of zombies.
Yeah. Dead and won't lie down. Uh-oh. Not that big guy over there, though, Annie. That big, heavy-set mug, the green lumberjack coat.
Oh, he looks like a prize fighter.
I know that guy. His name is Boots Driscoll. He's a yellow skunk. He's mean as a copperhead. You know, that louse would steal pennies from Kid, and he's the boss of Bum's Boulevard.
I gather you don't like him.
I don't.
Well, look who's here.
Hello, Boots.
Hi, Casey. I ain't seen you since...
Since the last time you came out of the big house.
That's right. Who's the good-looking dame with you?
This lady's a friend of mine.
Well, ain't she gonna introduce us?
Nope.
What are you doing down here in my territory?
Came to get a line on the screwball who hands out new dollar bills on Christmas. Apparently he's late.
Yeah, the louse. When he shows up, I get a good mind to kick his head in.
Yeah, not until after he hands out his dough, of course. Think he'll show up?
The folks think so because they want to think it. Me? I just stick around and keep everybody in line.
So you got them all lined up?
Yeah. First come, first served. If and when Santa Claus gets here. All right, stop pushing, you bums. Get back in line there.
Of course, you get something for your policing service.
Well, why not? Them jerks would tear one another to pieces fighting for a grab at them bucks like they did last year if I wasn't around. This year, I'm taking a cut of 35 cents out of every bum here to keep things peaceful.
Boots, you've got all the instincts of a big racketeer.
I'll say.
Where's the racket part? This is a legitimate business.
I guess it is at that for you. This way, you're getting the dough without using a gat or brass knuckles.
Say, if that's meant as a crime...
Skip it, Boots. I'm nearly as big as you are.
Boots. Boots.
What?
Casey, that awful looking man.
Boots.
What do you want, Creep?
Creep's a good name for him.
Hey, the guy who passes out dough. Santa Claus. I just found him.
You found him?
Yeah. In the alley back of Fritz's gin mill. Somebody socked him on the head and took all his dough. I think the guy's dead.
Dead?
Dead.
Dead.
Yeah, dead.
Dead. Hey, you bums stay here. Show me, Creep.
Yeah, come on.
We're going too, Annie.
Well, I'll say we are.
There he is, Boots. Lying behind a beer keg.
Yeah, I see him, Creep. His pockets have been turned out. He's been rolled.
There ain't a dime left on him.
You'd be sure of that.
He's so still, Casey. Is he dead?
No. His heart's good and strong, and he'd been knocked out.
He's such a little man. Such a mild, gentle-looking little man. Oh, who could have been?
I'll find out who took the dough he meant to give us, and when I do...
Shut up, Boots. I just opened his eyes. He's coming, too.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Just a guy who wants to help you, mister.
My headaches.
Yeah. It'd be a miracle if it didn't. Been slugged hard.
Yes. Something hit me.
Did you see the rat who hit you? The rat who took your dough?
My dough?
Yeah, you've been rolled, fella. Your money's gone.
Oh, the money.
Who got it?
I can't say.
How much did you have on you?
$300 in new $1 bills.
$300?
Maybe the cops can get it back. Annie, see if you can find
a
telephone.
No, no. No, don't call the police.
Why not? You've been assaulted and robbed.
But my head doesn't hurt very much now. I haven't been really injured. And I'm sure the thief will return the money.
Return?
When he becomes aware that it belongs to his neighbors, to his comrades down here. You see, I meant to give it away.
You think the thief will return it on that account?
When he thinks about it, yes.
This guy must be nuts.
Thieves can be good people.
Mister, you haven't been around much.
You've got as much chance of getting that dough back as I have of being elected a Supreme Court judge.
If you had taken the money, wouldn't you return it under the circumstances?
Me? Of course. I'm different.
Well, you're different from the guy who got the 300, Boots. He has it and you haven't. But maybe I'm wrong.
Hey, what do you mean?
At what time do you think you were hit and robbed, mister?
I entered the alley at about 20 minutes of 2.
And I've been on that corner where you met me, Casey, ever since 1 o'clock. Every bum in that line will say so. You can't pin this on me.
Okay, Boots, but you should understand my natural suspicion.
Yeah.
Ew, Creep.
Yes, sir.
What were you doing in this alley when you found him?
Well, I was just walking through, honest. I seen a foot sticking out from the back of them kegs, and when I looked closer, there this guy was. Well, I didn't take his toe, Boots. Don't look at me like that.
I believe you, Creep. Why shouldn't I?
Well, I don't.
Let go of my collar.
Shut up, Creep. Mr. Santa Claus, whether you like it or not, I'm going to find a cop and have this creep guy searched.
Wait. You're not the wrong person. And I will make no complaint.
What?
There's nothing you can do, Casey, if that's how the little guy wants it.
It is how I want it.
You gotta let me go.
Okay. You insist on being a sap, mister. It's your hard luck, not mine. Well, come on, Annie. Let's get out of here.
Oh, I'd like to, Casey, but I've been assigned to interview this gentleman.
Oh, that's so, yeah.
Interview me?
Yeah. To begin with, what's your name?
Why, Shepherd.
Shepherd?
Yes.
First name? Oh, Casey, catch him.
I got him.
Hey, the guy passed on.
That crack on the head did more damage than he admitted.
Look, there's a clinic up the street. We'll get him to a doc.
I guess you can take care of him alone, huh, Casey?
Yes, I won't need your help.
We parked our car near here, this alley, Casey.
Okay, Annie.
Well, I'll be getting along myself, Boots. So long.
Oh, no, creep.
Hey, why are you grabbing my arm?
You're going to give me that $300 you took.
Our story will continue in just a moment. All of us at Anchor Hocking want to wish you a Merry Christmas. We hope that this great day has brought you all the joys that were so carefully planned. The gaily decorated tree, the happy exchange of gifts, the reminiscences of a united family group. Yes, Christmas is a great day for getting together, a time of goodwill, good cheer, and good food. Food that you can buy with all its freshness, taste, and purity, perfectly preserved. For this, we have to thank the many great organizations who process and ship us our better foods and who know that flavor, purity, and freshness are best preserved in clean, sanitary glass containers. Containers that preserve and safeguard flavor and taste while they permit you to see in advance exactly what you're buying. Anchor Hocking is proud that so many of the leading brands of food of all kinds come to you in Anchor glass containers sealed with Anchor caps. Products of Anchor Hocking. The most famous name in glass.
Are you sure you feel all right now, Mr. Shepherd?
Yes, Miss Williams.
Doc said you got a really nasty crack on the head. I'll drive you home. He wants you to stay in bed for a few days.
Thank you, but men are seldom as sick as their learned physicians say. I'm quite all right.
Just the same, we're taking you to your home.
Yeah, where do you live?
Very close by.
What? You mean in this neighborhood?
Yes, but I have some unfinished business to attend to before I lie down, Mr. Casey. That money hasn't been returned yet.
If you get it back, Mr. Shepherd, I'll believe in the faith that moves mountains.
Mountains have been moved by steam shovels, Miss Williams. And man's faith in himself created the steam shovel.
By that you mean you're going to do something to persuade the thief?
I shall only remain near the thief so he can find me.
I don't get you.
Casey.
Huh?
Look.
Holy. It's that creep guy.
His face is terribly bruised.
He must have crashed into a 10-ton truck.
Yeah, he's dragging himself along.
Hey, creep, what happened to you?
How did...
Boots. Boots beat me up.
Boots?
In the alley. After you left.
Why?
He thought I took that $300. He beat me up and then searched me. But he didn't find it because I didn't have it. Hey, buy me a drink, will you? I need a drink.
Look, we're going to take you into the clinic and get you patched up.
No. When the docs get their mitts on guys like me, they send us to the hospital where we can't get no liquor. So just buy me a shot, mister, huh? That's all I need.
We'll serve this man best by doing as he asks, Casey. At the moment, his body needs its accustomed alcohol more than his bruises need medical treatment.
You're a wise guy, mister. You're a real gent.
Unfortunately, I have no money to give him.
All right, creep, I'll buy you a drink. And I'll go into a gin mill with you. While you tell me more about finding Mr. Shepherd in that alley.
I already told you all I know.
Now, we'll talk about that later. Come on. We're going to this joint here.
Yeah. Oh, this is an awful place, Casey.
Yeah, it is. You stay outside, Annie.
Oh, why should I? There's another woman at the bar.
Huh? Yes. That's Julia Arnold.
Oh, I see. The actress.
Yeah. You coming in too, Mr. Shepard?
Yes, thank you.
Hey, Gus. Hey, give me a shot, huh? Give me a shot, quick.
Not like see you got the dough to pay for it, Creek.
I'm paying for his drink.
Oh. What'll you gents and lady have?
Nothing for me.
Oh, me either.
I'll have a little wine.
Hey, one of the gents ain't ashamed to have a drink with a likes of me, Gus.
What kind of wine, mister?
Plain red wine.
Alky for me, Gus, and quick.
Okay, okay.
All right, now we'll do some talking, Creek. Mr. Shepard says he went into that alley at around 20 minutes of 2. Where were you at that time?
Mr. Casey, no purpose can be served by questioning this man. I'm making no complaint to the police, and I...
You may condone a crime, Shepard, but I don't.
I don't condone the crime. I'm forgiving it.
Well, we wouldn't have much law and order if everyone did that.
Perhaps we'd have more, Miss Williams.
This guy just don't care about 300 bucks, eh?
Here your drinks.
Give me, Gus.
The money wasn't mine, Mr. Casey. I'd have given it away in another few minutes.
And a lot of good it would have done him. A buck apiece that'd slide across bars like this for raw alcohol. Mr. Shepard, you seem like an awful nice guy, but it's time somebody taught you the facts of life.
Few can teach the facts of life, Mr. Casey. Few but little children. Because man forgets the simplicity of childhood, he forgets that all the world is one great family. I think our friend Creep would like another drink.
Yeah. And thanks a million, mister. Hey, Gus.
Okay, Creep. Be with you in a minute.
Hey, Gus.
What do you want, Julie?
Another drink, of course.
You drank up the bucket, Gammy.
No, Casey, that fine actress.
Come here, Gus. Come here. Well,
there's nothing anybody can do for her, Annie. Julia Arnold's hit bottom.
Look, I fooled you, Gus. I held out. I got another dollar bill.
Another brand new one, Julia.
Another new.
Where'd you get this dough? When you were in here this noon, you said you didn't have a dime.
Casey.
Julie found them, Gus. I found them, and I got more hid away.
You hear that, Shepard? I heard. When she leaves this place, we follow.
She's turned into the same alley where you were robbed, Mr. Shepard.
I see, Miss Williams.
We saw her come out of that same alley just a little while before Creep found you.
Poor woman.
Yeah, it's a rotten shame. Julia Arnold was a fine person once.
She can be a fine person again. Casey, why didn't you let Creep come here with us?
Oh, because these bums all stick together. I know how they act. He might have tipped off Julia Arnold that we're trailing her.
She's going down into that cellar, Casey.
Come on, we don't want to lose her.
Wait. That man...
Boots Driscoll.
He was hiding behind those ash cans. Now he's going down in the cellar.
As though he were watching for Julia Arnold, as though he's following her now. Come on, let's go.
There are rooms down here.
She probably lives in this cellar.
Yeah, but which door?
Get out of here!
Her
Get
voice.
Out! That door, Casey.
No! No!
We're going in, all right. Let her go, Boots.
I said
let her go.
Broke my arm.
What's the big idea, Boots?
I'll ask her.
He came to rob me. He said he'd make me tell where my money was hidden.
And you're going to tell me all of you. Stick up your hands.
Casey.
The man has a gun.
I see.
Stick him up, I said.
Okay, Boots. But you're losing what little mind you ever had. A lousy 300 bucks.
Shut up, Casey. This is my territory. I'm boss and I don't take no double crossing. Hand it over, Julie, or...
I haven't $300. I don't know what you're talking about.
Hand it over.
Don't shoot. I'll give you what I have. I found $6 bills in the alley today, here before I have left.
You're bluffing, but I ain't. Give me that $300. Keep back, Casey. You get it first.
You're crazy, Boots. Listen.
Shut up. This is your last chance, Julie. Give me that $300 or...
Oh, Boots.
Huh?
She ain't got it.
Creep.
I got it. I stole it and I hid it. Here it is.
You lousy double-crosser.
Mr. Shepard, I'm sorry for what I did to you. I ain't never been no good. Standing at that bar with you, you were drinking with me like I wasn't just a rat. I don't know. I had to get the dough. I didn't bring it to you. I'm sorry I had to hand it over to Boots.
You gave it to him to save this woman's life, Creep.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I did. Another thing, I dropped them $6 new bills on purpose in the alley when I saw Julie coming so she'd find them and spend them and take the rap for me.
There'll be no rap for anyone.
You said it. None of you birds are going to live to squeal on me.
You don't want to shoot us, Boots.
Don't I?
Do you?
I got myself in too deep.
Not yet. You haven't taken life. And your life isn't finished.
I ain't going to finish it and stir. I got a chance and none of you talk.
Yes, you have. Why don't you shoot us, Boots?
Well, I'm gonna.
When?
Shut up. I can't shoot a guy who talks like you do.
Words have never stopped a bullet or a true desire.
Nuts. Here, Casey, take this gat and this dough and send for the cops. I'm tired of being a phony tough guy.
Shall I send for the cops, Mr. Shepard?
If you wish, Casey.
You're running this.
We have $300. Everyone seems to agree that my original plan for its distribution was unwise. What do you suggest we do with it? May I have your suggestion, Creep?
I tried to frame Julie. Give it to her.
And your suggestion, Boots?
Give it to Julie.
It's yours, Miss Arnold.
Mine? $300. Oh, I can buy a decent dress. Once I earn that much for a single performance, I can do it again.
If you believe so.
But I don't need this money you intended for the poor. I'm not poor. God gave me gifts I've squandered. I still have some left. They're all I need. Give this money to the really poor.
What shall I do with it, Casey?
Mr. Shepard, you're still running this.
We'll join the crowd at the Blue Note in just a moment. Perhaps among your Christmas gifts, you received a beautiful set of jadeite dinnerware. Then you already know how attractive it will look on your table. And in the months to come, you'll learn that jadeite dinnerware is as sturdy and heatproof as it is lovely to look at. You'll be proud of your jadeite dinnerware because of its beautiful texture, its color, its flawless design. And your guests will hardly believe that this jade green dinnerware costs so little. But incredible as it may seem, you can buy a 35-piece jadeite dinner service, including 6 cups, 6 saucers, 6 dessert plates, 6 salad plates, 6 dinner plates, 1 vegetable bowl, a platter, and a sugar and creamer set for less than $5. And jadeite is also available in open stock at chain stores, department stores, and most other stores selling chinaware and glass. Remember the name, jadeite. That's spelled J-A-D-E-I-T-E. Jadeite, the newest triumph of Anchor Hocking. The most famous name in glass.
So Mr. Shepard gave the dough to that old man who panhandled you and Miss Williams, huh, Casey?
Yeah. Smitty, who didn't drink and didn't steal. It was just old.
What do you suppose Smitty did with it, Ethelbert?
How should I know?
He was so happy, he had to make others feel the same way. He played Santa Claus.
You mean?
Yeah. He stood on the corner of Bums Boulevard and handed out those dollar bills.
Funny, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was like a little child who hadn't forgotten that all the world is one big family.
That's a pretty thought.
I got it from Mr. Shepard.
He sounds like a very interesting guy. What'd you find out about him, Miss Williams? Him personal, I mean.
Nothing. While we were watching old Smitty give his money away, Mr. Shepard wandered off and we lost him.
Think we'll find him again?
Well, I hope so.
So do I.
But you don't know his address or even what business he's in?
No. But he told me he was once a carpenter.
Thank you.
starring Stotz Cotsworth as Casey, is brought to you each Thursday by the Anchor Hocking Glass Corporation, makers of Fire King Oven Glass, Anchor Glass Containers, Anchor Caps and Closures, all products of Anchor Hocking, the most famous name in glass. Directed by John Deese. The original music is by Archie Blyer, and the program features Miss Van Miner as Anne and John Gibson as Ethelbert. This is Tony Marvin saying goodnight for the Anchor Hocking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, with offices in all principal cities of the United States and Canada. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That was Casey, crime photographer, the Santa Claus of Bums Boulevard. Original air date, December 25th, 1947. You're listening to Dime Store Radio Theater, and we'll take a brief intermission here while you freshen that beverage. This is Dime Store Radio Theater, part of the Anywhen Anywhere network of programs. Return to Dime Store Radio Theater with the conclusion of our broadcast this evening, an episode of The Weird Circle. This one entitled Markheim.
Out of the past. Phantoms of a world gone by speak again the immortal tale. Markheim.
You feel safe, don't you, Markheim? You feel safe and flat and secure, don't you, Markheim? Sitting all alone before the fireplace in your uncle's drawing room. Ah, but you're not alone, Markheim. I'm with you. With you all the time. Invert your eyes, Markheim, and look within you. Invert them if you can, and then perhaps you will see me. I love to watch you thus at rest, Markheim. Safe and fat and secure. For then you are so much my servant. Stir, Markheim. Stir.
Just when I was relaxing so nicely.
Answer it, Markheim. Answer it.
Oh, that instrument is a menace to the peace.
Arise, Markheim, and do answer the phone.
Confound it.
Get up, Markheim. Get up and answer that phone.
Hello?
Hello? Is Markheim there?
Speaking. Who's this?
Rogers.
Rogers, for heaven's sakes, man.
What's the matter?
I told you never to call me here. Suppose my uncle answered the phone.
Oh, listen, Markheim, I'm your broker, not your nursemaid.
Well, what do you want, man? Quickly. One of the servants may come back.
Your stock has dropped. I'll need money within the hour.
Stock? Rogers, look. Let's not talk about this over the phone. I'll come over right away.
You may not have time, Markheim.
Oh, how much will you need? I'll try to raise it at once.
$6,000.
$6,000? So much?
You knew the hazards when you bought on margin. If I don't have the money within the hour, you will have lost everything.
Within the hour?
Within the hour.
$6,000.
$6,000.
All right. All right, I'll try to raise it at once. 6,000? Within the hour? Where am I going to get it?
Come now, Markheim. There is a way, you know.
Where am I going to get it?
Let me help you, Markheim.
Where am I going to get $6,000?
Let me suggest something to you, Markheim. Look around the room.
Nothing in this room is worth $6,000.
The wall, Markheim. The wall.
A portrait of my uncle. Oh, I couldn't ask him, even if I could reach him within the hour. If he ever knew I was speculating.
Not the portrait, Markheim. Behind the portrait. Behind the portrait.
Wait a minute now. There is a possibility after all.
You're in deep already, Markheim. What have you to lose?
I'm in deep already. What have I to lose?
Stir, Markheim. Stir.
Still, maybe it would be better to lose all that stock and forget about it.
Move, Markheim. Move.
Oh, why do I get into such dilemmas?
Get up, Markheim. Get up and move.
Oh, what the devil. Now if I can only lift this picture off the wall. Heavy. Oh, found it. Set it down. There. There it is. Ah, oh, bet the old fella doesn't even guess that I know about this wall safe.
Put your fingers up to the dial, Markheim.
Or the combination, either.
Put your fingers up to the dial and twist it, Markheim.
Two to the right. All the way around and stop at 8. All the way around to the left, past 8, and stop at 4. Ah, there it is.
Now put your hand into the safe.
Yes, there's the money. A small fortune, but I'll take just enough. 6,000 in wonderful paper money.
Draw out the money, Markheim.
I got it.
Quickly now, Markheim. Quickly. Close the door of the safe and put back the picture. That's the way, Markheim. Rush into the street and through the city.
Taxi! Taxi!
Quickly. Quickly. My taxi, swift and sure. Now into the broker's building, Markheim. Up to his office. Place the money in his hand.
Here's the 6,000, Rogers.
Oh, quick work, Markheim.
Now you may return to your uncle's home, but with leisure, Markheim. You may even walk if you wish. And you may cock your hat at a jaunty angle, for luck was with you this afternoon. And you may smile as you enter the drawing room once again.
Oh, hello, nephew.
Oh, uncle, I...
Did I surprise you, my boy?
Well, yes. You're home early, aren't you?
Yes, a little. Christmas Eve, you know. It's hard to get work on the afternoon before Christmas Eve. I thought I'd have my lunch at home and remain.
You're right, uncle. The afternoon before Christmas Eve is no time for business.
I'm glad we're of the same mind. Sit down. Sit down.
Yes, uncle.
This room is so comfortable. Oh, I hardly have time enough to enjoy it, though.
That's true, uncle. It's a room to relax in. I love to come here and just sit.
And that's because the appointments are so carefully chosen. The furniture and the rugs and the hanging, they all complement each other. Even that silly old portrait of me.
Portrait?
Oh.
Oh, yes. That portrait of you. It's not so silly, uncle. An excellent likeness of you.
Thank you for the compliment, nephew. But I dare say you're lying. Look at it.
I see nothing wrong with it.
Well, it's crooked. It's slightly off-center.
Why, yes, it is. I'll fix it. Just a little push it. There it is. Is that all right?
Yes, that's fine. Fine, thank you. You know, that crooked portrait reminded me of something.
Huh? Do you care to tell me?
Oh, it's nothing important. It just reminded me to take the picture down one of these days.
Take it down? Why?
Well, no, nothing special. Just to dust it off a little, shall we say.
Perhaps I can help you. When are you going to take it down?
See. Not today. And tomorrow is Christmas. The next day, probably. And I won't need any help, my boy. No help at all.
As you wish, sir.
Now I think I shall be going upstairs. I have a few gifts I still want to wrap.
See you later, then.
Yeah. Oh, now, wait a moment. What was it I wanted to ask you about?
Ask me? I wouldn't know, Uncle.
Oh, never mind. It's probably not too important if it slipped my mind. I'll call you if I remember. I'll see you later, nephew.
Goodbye for now, sir. Good heavens. The day after tomorrow. The day after tomorrow.
The day after tomorrow, Markheim. And you know why he's going to take that portrait down.
He's sure to examine that safe carefully. What'll I do?
Replace the money, Markheim.
Where can I get $6,000? Where can I get so much money by tomorrow?
Think, Markheim. Think.
What on earth's the matter with me anyway? Each problem begets a new one. I wonder if there's any escape.
Think, Markheim. Think.
Oh, nephew.
Yes, Uncle?
It just occurred to me. I can't find my ruby stick pin. Have you borrowed it?
Why, no. I'd never borrow it without your permission.
No, I see. Then I guess I must have lost it. Well, never mind. I'll speak to my insurance broker.
I'm terribly sorry, sir. One thing after another. Now, where can I get $6,000 by tomorrow?
Think, Markheim. Think.
Where?
The ruby stick pin, Markheim. Doesn't that suggest something to you?
Now, who would have so much money?
The ruby stick pin, Markheim. Don't you remember? Don't you remember that afternoon? That afternoon you entered the dealer's shop on that side street downtown? That dirty little deserted side street? Don't you remember how quiet the place was? How all alone you both were?
Yes. So you're back, young man.
I'm sure I'm welcome. You've made a tidy penny on me.
Yes. And you should expect I would profit well.
I think you profit much too well.
Some of my customers are ignorant, and then I touch a dividend on my superior knowledge. And some of them are...
Some of them? Yes?
Well, some of them are dishonest. In that case, I profit by my virtue.
Frankly, I need no preamble to our dealings. Let's get on.
Yes, indeed, let us get on. What have you brought me now? Another curio from your uncle's cabinet?
No, not from my uncle's cabinet. I brought you this.
Oh.
And it's genuine, let me assure you.
Your assurance promises me nothing.
But it is, I tell you.
Calm yourself. I trust my own eyes. It is genuine. Ruby stick pin. Very elegantly designed.
How much will you give me for it?
300.
Why, you fool, that's worth at least 1,000.
Does it matter whether I give you 300 or 3,000? You lose it anyway. I'd rather enrich myself than some stock speculator.
I'll not give it to you for 300.
It's you who needs the money, not I.
But 300?
I'll be generous. 400, shall we say.
Very well. Since I have no choice, I'll take the 400.
Good. Now you wait here. I'll go upstairs and fetch the money.
You remember that, don't you, Markheim? You remember his exasperating gait up those stairs, to the floor above, to the room above, to the place where he kept his money? How easy it would be.
I wonder if he has that much money up there now.
How can you doubt it?
$6,000 is a lot of money. Does he have it? Suppose he has. How could I get it? He never leaves his shop.
You know how, Markheim?
He'd be in the way. How could I get it?
You know how, Markheim. It would be so easy.
Oh, I think I'll think about it later. I'm going to the kitchen to talk to the cook a while. Get my mind off it.
Run away if you like, Markheim. You can't escape me. Go into the kitchen. I don't mind. I'm right with you, Markheim. I'm right with you.
Hello there, Mrs. Cleary.
What? Oh, you startled me, Master Markheim. I was buried in this newspaper, didn't hear you come in.
Say, what's so fascinating about that newspaper?
I have a little time before the oven heats up, so I thought I'd read about that new murder.
Murder?
Yes, terrible thing, Master Markheim. The murderer used a knife.
A knife?
I guess it must be easy to commit murder with a sharp knife. Some people would run a knife into a man's body as easily as I would into that goose I'm cooking.
I just came in for a piece of cake, Mrs. Cleary.
Cake? Oh, yes, over there. You've got to admit that sometimes it's easy to commit murder. Of course, the murderer might be caught, but it would be kind of easy, wouldn't you say? Especially with a sharp knife.
That's it, Markheim. A sharp knife. So easy. So easy. Is formulating in your mind, isn't it, Markheim?
It should be easy. $6,000 at the stroke of a knife.
But you won't carry it out, Markheim, while you sit in your uncle's drawing room.
If I only keep my nerve, if I don't break at the last moment.
You won't break, Markheim. I'll be with you.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Uncle. What's the matter, sir?
Oh, yes.
I said, Merry Christmas.
It could be merrier, nephew. I wish you wouldn't spend your leisure time in my drawing room.
What? I won't if you don't want me to.
In fact, I forbid you to use this drawing room as your den. I forbid you to lounge here alone.
I'm sorry, Uncle. What have I done?
I don't care to discuss it now, nephew. It's Christmas Day. But I would like an hour with you tomorrow.
Of course. As much time as you want.
Now, I'd like you to leave me. I have some thinking to do.
I must have done something terrible. All right. I'll leave. I'll go at once.
He knows Markheim.
I wonder if he's looked in his safe.
He knows Markheim. You'll have to act swiftly now.
If he's going to speak to me tomorrow, I'll have to get that money. Today. Today. Today.
Here it is, Markheim. The dealer's house. Ring the bell. Don't hesitate, Markheim. Ring it.
I can't kill him.
Your uncle knows, Markheim. Ring the bell. Ring it. Again.
Why does he delay?
What is it you want?
Must you keep me out here in the cold?
I was talking on the telephone. Now, what do you want? I'm not buying anything today.
I haven't come to sell.
Have you come to wish me a Merry Christmas?
No. I've come to buy a Christmas present for a lady.
Why don't you go elsewhere?
All the other shops are closed. It was a sudden invitation to dinner, and I mustn't go empty-handed. You'll be doing me a great favor, and I'm willing to pay double.
Oh, well, come in. You're an old customer, after all. And I take it you're fighty.
Yes.
Well, far be it from me to stand in the...
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Especially when you're willing to pay double. And if I got it. How do you like this mirror? 14th century, warranted. Comes from a good collection, too.
Mirror? Get it away from my face.
Why not a mirror?
Get it away from my face, I tell you. No. Not a mirror.
Perhaps you see in it a reminder of past sins and follies.
I don't like mirrors.
They say a mirror often yields a reflection of one's inner self.
Enough! Take it away, I tell you.
Very well, calm yourself. Perhaps this may suit you. This silver compact here on the shelf. I'll get it for you.
Now, Markheim, now. While his back is turned. The knife, Markheim. Swing it with your whole arm. Swiftly, swiftly. With your whole arm, Markheim.
There! Killed him.
It is done, Markheim. It is well done.
I've killed him. I must get out of here.
Fool, where are you running?
I can't remain. They'll find me here. I'll hang. The front door. I must get out.
Stop. Do you want to destroy yourself? You cannot go out that door. Listen to what is happening on the other side of it. Listen.
Well, here's the place, Garrity.
All right, you go on in. I'll wait outside.
Now, don't be a grouch. This is Christmas Day, and we're both going to present this turkey to the old man.
He's the worst miser that ever lived. What does he know about Christmas?
That doesn't matter. You agreed to walk down here with me, and now don't go away. I'm going to knock on the door.
You see, there's no answer. Maybe he's not home.
He never leaves. I'll try again. Hello, hello in there. Are you coming out?
You're making enough noise to raise the dead.
Maybe he's asleep.
Oh, come on, let's go.
No, I think I'll wait a while. I expect he'll get up soon, walk over and open the door. You can go if you like.
Well, I guess I'll wait along with you.
Did you hear that, Markheim? He's going to wait for the old man to get up and open the door. Such a joke.
I must get out of here.
You know he can't get up, don't you, Markheim?
The back door. The yard. I must get out of here. I've killed him. They'll find me and I'll hang.
Stop running away, you fool. Are you going to forget your uncle and the safe behind his portrait?
The back door. To the yard.
Stop where you are. Don't you hear those voices in the alleyway? Listen, they're saying something that concerns you.
Let me see what you got for Christmas.
Oh, I got lots of things.
Any marbles?
Sure, Billy, a whole bag full. I got them in my pocket.
So did I. Want to play me?
Well, sure, play you right now. Where do we play?
Well, I don't want to play in the gutter. How about the backyard?
His backyard?
Why not? Don't be scared of that old foggy. We'll keep on playing till the old man gets up and opens the door and hollers at us.
Okay, I'm game.
Did you hear that, Markheim? Till the old man opens the door and hollers at them.
I'm trapped in this house.
You know he can't get up, don't you, Markheim?
I'm trapped in this house.
Stop lashing yourself, Markheim. You have done well this afternoon, and a great deal more lies ahead. Now come along. Up the stairs. Higher, and higher, and higher still. Up the stairs to the landing, and through the door, Markheim. Through the door, and into this room. Here's where the old dealer keeps his money. Now look carefully. Remember, 6,000 to replace in your uncle's safe.
I must get that money. I must.
Of course you must.
It's safe up here and quiet.
So quiet, Markheim, with the door closed.
Nothing to distract my search for the money. This desk. Not there.
Perhaps behind this mirror. This full-length mirror, Markheim.
It might be behind that mirror. But I daren't look at it, except with the corner of my eye.
Why fear the mirror, Markheim? The money is right behind it. Now look at it.
I'll look behind the mirror as a last resort.
Look at it now, Markheim, with your full face.
No. No.
Look into the mirror, Markheim. Squarely into the mirror.
I should see my reflection. But I don't.
Of course not, Markheim. You see me instead.
Who are you?
I am your evil genius, Markheim.
You are the voice within my brain. You are the voice that has helped me to steal and helped me to murder. What do you want of me?
I have spent too long cultivating you as my tool, Markheim, to give you up easily. Once you trembled at the thought of theft, but I rid you of that fear. And this afternoon you reached the crisis. Murder.
Let me alone. Please. I beg of you. Let me alone. What's that? A footstep. Someone's coming up those stairs.
Hide, Markheim. Hide.
It's the dealer. It can be no one else. The dead man's coming up those stairs. If only I knew how to pray. The door. How can I hide from a dead man? Good heavens. Uncle.
Well, nephew.
I expected to find you here.
Uncle, how'd you know? How'd you know?
The ruby stick pin. Yesterday evening it was missing, and I thought you had borrowed it. I went into your room to look for it and found this on your dresser instead.
The dealer's card.
Exactly. When you denied borrowing the stick pin, I telephoned him. He remembered the pin. But it was no shock, my boy. I've never really trusted you.
I have nothing to say, Uncle.
And later that evening, I examined my safe behind the portrait. $6,000 were missing.
Then, when you spoke to me this morning, when you forbade me to stay in your drawing room alone, you knew.
Yes, I knew. And when you left the house this afternoon, I knew you were trying to find money to replace what you took from the safe. Where could you go for money? But to some dealer.
I see.
So I telephoned him and asked him to call me. That is, in case you should arrive. And he agreed and left the side door open.
Then that's why he kept me waiting outside. He was talking to you.
That's how it worked out. I hurried down here with a policeman. The worst I had expected was that you'd be arrested for theft.
And now it's for murder.
Yes, and he's waiting for you downstairs. My nephew. Shall we go?
Yes. Yes, I'll go with you. I'll go. But please, just one more moment to my
house. I warn you, nephew, you cannot escape.
I don't intend to, Uncle.
Put that vase down. What are you doing?
I'm going to smash that mirror.
Wait, Markheim. Do not destroy me. I can help you get away.
Your power is gone. You can't stop me from doing this. Now I don't care about the scaffold, nor what lies beyond it. I've broken the mirror, and in the time that remains, I shall have peace.
From the time-worn pages of the past, we have brought you the story, Markheim. Bellkeeper, toll the bell.
Episode of The Weird Circle, originally broadcast on May 21st, 1945. And that does it for Dime Store Radio Theater this week here, bringing you holiday stories and seasonal broadcasts from our house to yours. And on a more serious note, thank you. For all of you who listen to Mid-Valley Mutations and WTBC Radio, the holidays are a very interesting time, and I spend a lot of it reflecting, I think. And certainly, my relationship with you as people who subscribe to the program, listen every week, and enjoy what we do, it means more than I can really adequately express. So, thank you so much. It means the world. Doing this show is very important to me, and I appreciate the ability to do so, and that there are people like you who tune in and enjoy this kind of stuff, and know that whatever we get this week, there's something also exciting happening next week. And, for that, I am eternally grateful, and I hope that we can just keep this up, because, it's really fun. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. You guys are wonderful. You guys are beautiful. And without you, there would be no program.
Mid-Valley.
Happy holidays to all, and to all a good night.
Mutations.
Be seeing you. Now, where's that spiked eggnog? It's time for the holidays to really get started.